In Brooklyn on the corner of Bedford and Atlantic, there's this black boy with a pair of knickers on, a string full belt and no shoes. There's snow on the ground and he's got his hand out. Brothers are biodegradable? You know, I don't think so. They disappear into the pavement. They turn it into loot to pay the rent. Sis won a lawsuit for $200,000. Mom smoked it up and sold the house feist. Family broke up. Now they fighting for their life, struggling and scratching just to survive. Shorty's thick. Yeah, she got it going on. But when she goes home, Pop sings some new song. Mama the son, black men are no good. The rest of the day, he's questioning his manhood. Dope-ass gear, bad-ass cars. Go to the morgues and peep the scars. Brothers are biodegradable, you know? I don't think so. As I watch the news, I see brothers in L.A. killing each other as if there was no other way. Think about it. If a brother can get another brother to hate someone else's color, think if he had just taught them to love one another. They don't know all that they've been fighting for and more. As I gaze off the roof at the skyline before me, I dream of the day that I will be all that I can be and do all the righteous things to wipe out the enemies who smile in our faces. They're not even friends, you see. They would never want you to be all you can be. They pump a bum education. They destroy our creations, our seed. Damn, our whole nations. Ain't it a word for that? I think it's genocide. You bring it up and they ask you, can it be identified? Or I'll try. There ain't no such thing. Either you do or you don't. But they can't feel, so they won't. Brothers are biodegradable? You know, I don't think so. In D.C., they're killing me just as much as themselves. Man, the mental health is so far gone. Brothers are bugging, mothers are drugging, and babes be out mugging. And it all comes down to a slug in our brethren. For only the dead win, for they peacefully lay without another day to be held at bay. Brothers are biodegradable? You know, I don't think so.
Wow. We've just heard the powerful words of Michael Lloyd, a Colombian who's returned to his roots to give us this magnificent poem and a different style, and maybe what I'll call the future. We're here on Razzle Dazzle Radio. I'm with Judy Templeton, and our guest, as I mentioned, is Michael Lloyd.
And there you have the power of the spoken word. And Michael is a spoken word artist. And as Carolyn said, we're going to be talking about the future, the present, and the past in Columbia in this year of celebrating 50 years of the arts in Columbia, Maryland. So, Michael, I love what you do. And it's such a cool, eclectic composite of many things. So let's talk about this whole spoken word piece and its history to rap. So tell us about how you got into it.
Well, in the 1980s, I started in the rap industry. I was dealing with a lot of different artists in New York, Queen Latifah, Special Ed, Run DMC, and we all became friends, and we were, you know, lived together, like commune-like, so we got to start, you know, working on different types of poetry compared to rap. And after a while, I honed my skill, and I found I was really a good poet, and I had words that could make blind people see.
That's a beautiful expression. It really is. And Yao, you lived in Columbia before, and now you're back again, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so what happened in between?
Oh, marriage, children, jobs, careers, college, you know, all of those type of
life's
things.
Life's experience,
yes.
For spoken word, right?
That's the way you get your information.
And now, presently, don't you have your own company?
Yes, I have a company called Gift Management. We do artist management, we find deals and get shows and things for artists. And we're working with a couple of neighborhood kids and a couple of other artists in New York and all around the country.
That's fabulous. So do you ever perform anywhere nearby that we can come see you, hear you?
Well, not at the moment. I'm looking for some gigs. I'm waiting to find out some new things because I've only been back here in Columbia about 4 years, 5 years now. And so I'm honing my people and my network back together.
Exactly. Okay. And so are you producing some kind of CD or something that we can hear? Are you in production with that?
Yeah, I'm working with a young man. His name is Jake. He lives in my community.
Uh-huh.
And he's really well rapper. And we're working on some stuff right now. He's got some videos going on YouTube and things of that nature.
So how does one, when you said I honed my skills, because to me, I mean, you're just sitting here and these words are just coming out. I mean, he's not reading this, folks. I mean, this is just pouring out of him. So I know that you wrote these words yourself, right?
Yes.
So that's helpful, certainly. But how does one hone their skills?
A lot of reading.
Okay.
just in order to get my vocabulary to be more eccentric, you know, in a way, you know, so that I can have words that blend together in such a rhythmic way.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, well, that's a whole nother thing, is that's the whole rhythm of how it gets all put together. So do you already hear that in your mind as you're putting the words
yes,
together?
Yes, I do, actually. And uh-huh. As I'm writing, I always find myself faster in my brain than I am on paper. I got to catch up to myself on paper.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yep. And when we hear music, a lot of times, though, it's really not in sync with what you're saying. It's more like an underscoring, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And how do you choose that music?
Well, I can do it to any type of music, any type. I can find, you play classical, I can do poetry to it. You play hip hop, I can do poetry to it. You can play jazz, I can do poetry to it. Rock and roll, I can do poetry to it. So I don't find myself picking any certain type of music to spit to.
Is that the expression or is that your expression?
That's the expression.
Oh, that is. Okay, that's the standard expression.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, spit something out at us.
Bounce with me as I roll through the jungle. The jungle in my mind, my place of space, here, have a taste. Bitter at first, but sweet to the thirst. Power explained in infinite strengths, aspects beyond nonfiction. A palatable addiction. My mind, my joystick. You think you can play with it? Not in my mind, because you have not been there to understand my place of space.
Whoa, I'm trying to be in that space. That was fabulous, Michael. Thank you so much for coming and speaking to us. You're futuristic, you're visionary, you're fun, you're wonderful. Thank you so much.
I thank you guys for just giving me the opportunity.
Thank you, Michael.
We've just heard the future of the power of the word. And now we turn to the three guests sitting here at Razzle Dazzle Radio Studio at HCC. Tim Singleton at one mic, Pat Kennedy at another, and Tara Hart at the third. And they're going to share stories about Hokopolitso, about poetry, about the birthday celebration and the book festival, and all sorts of wonderful words. Take it away.
Hokopolitso. Hokopolitso? Hokopolitso. All right, that's enough. What in the world does Hokopolitso stand for? I have three people here that can speak to it. Tim?
I'm going to turn to Pat. He's the wise one of us here. Pat, what does Hokopolitso mean?
Well, John Guare, the famous playwright, said Hokopolitso was the best name since Shaboom Shaboom. But Hokopolitso is the Howard County Poetry and Literature Society, and it's now in its 43rd year, and it's been a major literary force here in Howard County and one of the premier arts organizations in Columbia.
Yeah, and I've heard that it goes all the way around the world now with its YouTube channel. Hundreds of thousands of people are paying attention to Hokopolitso.
Yeah, there are probably close to 150 half-hour tapings, TV shows of writers interviewing writers, very distinguished writers, and it's now on YouTube, and it's shown all around the world, as you say, and there are hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hits. So it's really captures for eternity the brilliance of the writers who have been here.
And one of my favorite hits of the Writing Life TV series is the one where a very young Ethelbert Miller is interviewing Gwendolyn Brooks, who is celebrating a milestone 100th anniversary of her birth this year. Tara, do you have a favorite Writing Life?
Oh, there's so many. And of course, my favorite is always the one that we just did. And so recently, Ethelbert Miller, maybe not so young but anymore, but still one of our very, very favorite hosts and interviewers, very distinguished, interviewed the Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Tayemba Jess. And that conversation was a delight to witness from behind the scenes, and I know that people are going to love it when they see the finished product. But I have to ask Pat about Hokopolitso's origin story, because it's such a great story of how it actually got started out of your house.
Shaboom, shaboom.
Well, it started in the summer of 1974, and Ellen... my wife, Jean Moon, and Prudence Barry got together and thought it would be a great idea to have a literary arts organization that brought distinguished writers from all over the world here to make it for public readings and TV broadcasts here in Columbia. And it, as you say, it started in our house, and it Hoco Bellizzo, our house was actually the site of the running of Hoco Bellizzo for 30 years until it moved here mm-hmm. to the community college. Mm-hmm.
I remember that because I collaborated with Ellen when I was the division chair of English and World Languages, collaborated on an event here at the college. And of course, you had been hosting events here at the college for several years. But when she and I partnered to create a book festival here on campus in 2002, I had the opportunity to become familiar with the organization. And then as it naturally progressed, that once you decided you didn't want this world-class literary arts organization running out of your home forever, we created that partnership between Howard Community College and Hoco Bellizzo to bring it in as a partner in residence onto the campus, which has been a tremendous boon, I know, to the students and the community to have that to have these events so accessible to them.
And the transition from the house to the college was absolutely seamless. And it's the college is a wonderful place for Hoco Bellizzo to shine. Mm.
For me, it's almost as if Hoco Bellizzo never moved, because I was a student here at HCC in creative writing class, taking advantage of the poets that came in. I remember Amiri Baraka, Robert Bly, just wonderful, wonderful occasions that lit my mind up.
Yeah, but poets from Allen Ginsberg to Billy Collins. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing array of the best in mm-hmm. literary arts.
Of course, our artistic director for so many years, Lucille Clifton, such a distinguished and well-known poet, and to have had the opportunity to work closely with her was such an honor. But as I said, recently to a group of students during the daytime reading of our Blackbird Poetry Festival, one of the things I'm proudest of in my dual roles of working as a professor at Howard Community College and being co-chair of the board of directors of Hoco Bellizzo is that we give students these opportunities and community members these opportunities to experience the best writers in the world at of a caliber and of a degree of access that's comparable to the most expensive universities anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you mentioned Lucille Clifton, Lucille and Carolyn Kaiser actually gave the first reading ever in 1974 at Wild Lake High School.
Oh, 50 years ago.
Yes.
Wow. I remember my first Hoco Bellizzo reading. I was a high school student. And we were bussed over to Slayton House, and I saw Derek Walcott read, and I thought, I want to be him when I grow up.
Well, speaking of Derek Walcott, five Nobel Prize winners have come here reading for high school students and for the general audience, including Seamus Heaney, who has been here before he died. He was here on three different occasions.
I'm looking forward to seeing some of the students in our audience be invited back as Pulitzer or Nobel winners.
I wonder if anybody has amassed the kind of library and experiences that Ellen has. Ellen Conroy Kennedy, we should say again, is the founder of Hoco Bellizzo and a National Book Award finalist herself. And I wonder if anyone has met as many of the distinguished writers in the world as she has or had contact with them.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? All I know is I keep ticking off my gods as everyone comes by. I still remember falling head over heels in love with Grace Paley.
Mm. Oh, Grace Paley was wonderful.
Absolutely.
And she opened her reading with a story. It was a reading for all the librarians in Howard County. And she opened it with a story how she had a library book taken out the library, and she didn't return it for 30 years. And she finally discovered it and took it back, paid the fine, and then took it out again.
I would like to ask Pat Kennedy a little bit to talk about Irish Night, which, of course, is one of the staples of Hoco Palazzo. And tell us one story that might be outrageous, you know, for our razzle-dazzle radio show here, or something that many folks do not know.
Well, I don't know about outrageous, but the Irish Evening is this year will be in its 40th year. Mm. As the Irish ambassador has said, the list of writers that have come to Hoco Palazzo from Ireland reads like a who's who in modern Irish literature. It's an extraordinary group, and the ambassador has come every year to introduce the poet, including the latest ambassador, Anna Anderson, who is the first woman ambassador from Ireland to the United States, and she is terrific.
Tim, you know some backstories, Irish Evening, because you've been there, not from the beginning. But.
Well, I've politely said that I wouldn't remember some because they are not scandalous, but some good juicy literary gossip. One of my favorite stories is not scandalous at all, but one of the Irish writers came to Columbia, Maryland, thinking we were close to the set and scenes of The Wired, and I thought he would walk from his hotel in downtown Columbia to take in some of the sights that he had seen on TV. Of course, The Wired is shot in Baltimore, and that's some 20 miles away, so I got to take him on a tour of some of those notorious places in Baltimore. Wound up meeting up with a Baltimore writer who was a scriptwriter for The Wire, Rafael Alvarez, and got some more stories in there. So that was a good night.
Mm. I remember when Frank McCourt came, he read at Wild Lake High School, and there were 700 people in the audience that night.
We were sold out. It was one of his last appearances,
yeah.
I think.
Just before he died, yeah.
I was wondering, is that the largest audience we've had?
Well, when Garrison Keillor was here, he read with Roland Flint, and it was so popular that they read for two nights, for two different audiences. So if you combine the two audiences, it's probably...
twice the size of Mr. McCourt.
Talk a little bit about your collaboration with the Columbia Festival of the Arts, especially this year.
Okay. Over the years, we always look for opportunities to partner with other organizations. There are a number of organizations in town. We've partnered with the Horse Center once upon a time and put a poet on top of a horse. So we're looking for innovative ways to hold readings, entice audiences, present literature.
So moving into the present, what kinds of events are coming up, Tim?
Well, Tara's got the flyer in her hand, so she'll tell us the details. But we've got Carrie and John Brown returning to Columbia, longtime residents of Columbia, both worked at the Columbia Flyer, then went off and became world-famous novelists, and they're coming back to help us celebrate Columbia's 50th birthday. Tara, what are the details on that?
Yeah, that is at Slayton House, a favorite site of ours, on Sunday, June 4th at 4 o'clock. And it is a ticketed event, general admission $20. But we have also a special recognition at that event, too, that is part of celebrating Columbia's birthday. And that is we are honoring the literary legacy of Ellen Conroy Kennedy and, of course, Pat Kennedy, who's with us here today, just recognizing and trying to summarize in some way the profound and widespread legacy of literature in Howard County and all of these visits from the wonderful writers that we've been talking about and what that has meant to the people over the past 50 years and what it's done for our to make Howard County a center for arts and culture.
A couple other events that are actually not Hoco Palazzo literary events. We like events other people run because we can come and sit in the seats and just enjoy ourselves. There is a first annual Books in Bloom Book Festival held in Symphony Woods on June 11th from 12 to 5, featuring an array of writers. The one off the top of my head I remember is April Ryan, who just won a National Journalist of the Year Award. She's a White House correspondent and a historical writer, and I'm looking forward to learning what she has to say at that event. So 12 to 5 on June 11th. Also on June 11th over at Oliver's Carriage House is Little Patuxent Review's launch of their most recent issue. They celebrate each new publication with a gathering of the writers featured in the issue, reading from the issue. So that's two events on June 11th. Looking forward to getting some books at that book festival and putting them aside for my summer reading.
And on June 10th, Tara will be interviewing Chimamanda Adichie, very famous poet from Nigeria, who is actually a Columbia resident.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, she's a very distinguished novelist and short story writer, and she has the world-famous TED Talk that a lot of us use in our classes to help teach students about literature. So I'm thrilled at the opportunity to talk with her.
Wonderful. It's a great conversation. I look forward to talking with you guys again next season when we start off with Laurie Frankel for the Lucille Clifton Poetry and Writers Reading Series.
I've been honored to sit here in the midst of Pat Kennedy, Tim Singleton, and Tara Hart, and the HOCO Palazzo. And remember, try saying that three times really fast. And please, please continue to look for events. They are the finest. They've won awards. And we are blessed that we've had this here in Columbia since the 70s.
As we leave Razzle Dazzle Radio this time around, we will go out with a beautiful poem by Maya Angelou. I'm Carolyn Kellerman for Judy Templeton. Till the next time.
Everyone in the world has gone to bed one night or another with fear or pain or loss or disappointment. And yet each of us has awakened, arisen, somehow made our ablution, seen other human beings, and said, "Morning, how are you? Fine, thanks, and you?" It's amazing. Wherever that abides in a human being, there is the nobleness of the human spirit. Despite it all, black and white, Asian, Spanish, Native American, pretty, plain, thin, fat, vowed or celibate, we rise. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Just because I walk as if I have oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like suns and like moons, with the certainty of tides. Just like hope springing high, still I rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries. Does my sassiness upset you? Don't take it so hard just because I laugh. As if I have gold mines digging in my own backyard. You can shoot me with your words. You can cut me with your lies. You can kill me with your hatefulness. But just like life, I'll rise. Does my sexiness offend you? Oh, does it come as a surprise that I dance? As if I have diamonds at the meeting of my thighs. Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past rooted in pain, I rise. A black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak miraculously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave. I am the hope and the dream of the slave. And so, naturally, there I go rising.